This is Kimmy Culp, and I am the host of All the Wiser. I am here with my producer, Erica. We're actually testing video, and Erica's in a top bun.
I am. I'm a big fan of the top bun. It's my go-to hair maneuver. It's just easy, and I'm not a ponytail girl. Are you a ponytail girl?
Oh, yes. Like, rock it every day, because I don't want to spend time blow drying my hair. Right now I'm in a trucker hat, but you're wearing like hipster glasses and a top bun. So we will set the stage. We are here to not talk about frivolous things like hair, but an interview.
Although, I mean, hair is very important topic to me.
You have to start somewhere. We are going to talk about our last episode, which I think you and I have just we're equally jaw-dropped and, like, heart-swelled, all of it, which was Rebecca Bender. I mean, I think you texted me while you were listening to the interview and said that your heart had shattered into a million pieces.
It was not easy to get through. It was very just devastating to listen to.
Yeah, so Rebecca's story, which when you listen, all of this will make more sense, although I hope we have now not scared you.
I think most people have listened to it, but okay. If they're listening to this, I think most people have.
And if they haven't, they probably will not after our opening.
After hearing us today.
But for those of you who did, and I think everyone should, because ultimately, like so many of our guests, she is just inspirational. And really, like, it is said regularly, but about she really is the embodiment of this notion, this idea that we are not defined by our darkest days and that we author our lives and our future. And the stakes and how high they were for herself and for her daughter living in hell as she was being sex trafficked for 6 years in Las Vegas with three different traffickers, and the reality of that. I mean, we can talk about some of the standout moments, but where she is today, and she is just so articulate and thoughtful and intentional and passionate and just making huge waves in the world with her work. And so I think that, to me, like, to think about this girl, if you will, right, living with all of these other women being physically, mentally abused and trafficked and sold, and with the tattooed, you know, her John, if you will, tattooing his name on the back of her neck versus this strong, empowered woman that we had the privilege of speaking with, it's just night and day. And that's what she said at the end, was like, I don't need to hear, not I don't need to hear, because she wouldn't even say it that way, but when people say they can't change or they can't imagine their circumstances being different, she literally is like, if I can transform my life, if I can create the life I have today, then anything is possible.
Yeah, she's really a perfect example of why we do this show. I think the point is really to hear her say, look, if I can do this, you can get through anything. Yeah. You can do it. You can get through your most difficult, painful moments in life, and you can completely transform yourself on the other end.
And the road out, which she breaks down, yes, the brave, bold step was the leaving, the act of leaving, with all of the threats that come with that. But then she's starting literally from food stamps, from nothing. Yeah. And to where she has built, to what it took from that day of leaving and the choice to leave, but all of the choices between that day and today and the conversation we had with her, it's really a remarkable story. It's a heartbreaking story, but that heartbreak is triumphed by, to me, a much bigger message about our potential as human beings. And yeah, she was just, and it was incredibly enlightening as far as educating ourselves and our listeners. I mean, I had no idea. I ended the conversation and I thought, I will look differently when I walk down the street. I will, yeah. You know, which I said in the open, but what she said is, it is, what was the profile she gave again? 35 to 55 year old men with expendable income. Was that right?
Right. Yeah.
So that is, that the profile is not, in fact, from both the buyer, if you will, the predator. It's first of all that can be a wide range of people. It can equally be what you would envision as a pimp or a hustler, and it may be a very successful, you know, lawyer or doctor who's in your community, and you know, could be your kid's orthodontist, and that there is that wide spectrum. But it is, what she would say is, without question, around you, it is in your community, is in your neighborhood. Somehow you are being touched by it and you don't know its proximity to you, and you would be shocked if you did.
That was what was so enlightening to me, is I've had very little exposure to this topic before. Rebecca, I don't know about you, have you done stories on human trafficking before?
No, you know, I know some people who are involved in sort of nonprofits and initiatives around. So I had a sense, but what I didn't know, I still was the profile of what she said, and that it's what you see in the movies, right? Or you assume that it's in another country. I did not know that it was, you know, within
so close to
a
home.
Square mile. Yes.
Right. Yeah. No, I didn't either. I think she nailed the stereotype that I had in my head of, I don't know, for some reason I imagined some, you know, girl on the Las Vegas Strip standing outside of a casino, and someone from another country, and someone who, I don't know, almost seemed like they were there by choice. But that's like one of the things about this topic that's so scary, is you have to pay attention to a lot of different elements of someone's life experience to know if they could potentially be a victim of sex trafficking. And that looks like, you know, someone who may have an unstable home life, someone who may be sleeping in class all the time at school, someone whose grades are failing, or who's, I mean, and these are things that when you take them in isolated incidents, it's like, well, yeah, not every kid who's doing poorly in school is a victim of human trafficking. But there are some other signs. When I was doing the research about this topic, you know, I was like, well, what are those signs? Because now that we know that it's so pervasive and that it's in our communities, you know, what is it that we should be looking for? And some of those signs are physical marks, physical abuse, such as burn marks or bruises or cuts on someone's body, and over-sexualized behavior, like someone who's wearing over-sexualized clothes or is just acting in a very hyper-sexualized way, someone who maybe brags about having expendable income or has just a large amount of money for unexplained reasons, like why would a teenager have this amount of disposable income, a new tattoo on their body. You know, she mentioned, and you mentioned, that is often the name of the human trafficker. It's like it's a branding thing. And yeah, people who show signs of gang affiliation sometimes, or people who are out with an older boyfriend, new friends. These are all signs that, you know, when you put the whole picture together, it might be worth asking questions.
Yeah, and I think the humanity piece really resonated with me. the idea of a victim and choice. And, you know, she explained that the psychology of cults and brainwashing is very applicable to exactly what happens with a trafficker, and that it's preying on the most vulnerable, as you said, all of those things, right? But her perception with law enforcement, and this is where I think that we can, as fellow human beings, get takeaway, is you've all had that moment where you see someone on the side of the street, maybe in a neighborhood you don't live in, and you pass a judgment, right? Yeah. You see somebody and maybe it looks like, oh, she looks high and her skirt's up to, you know, I can see her underwear. And you have all those presumptions, right, about whatever you want to, you know, whatever you think. That person's a mess. They're an addict. They're this, they're that. And she's really is working with, you know, the FBI, with police departments on seeing these girls through a human lens.
Yes.
That very likely they could have come from an abusive family, be the victim of human trafficking, be abused by their trafficker, you know, the millions of things. So when you flip the lens and it's a compassionate one, and it's the entirety of a picture and not just that immediate instinctual label that we like to put in a quick narrative, but take a step back and say, how did she get here? And I think that's something just as people, if we started to shift our thinking in society to perhaps in those moments pause with curiosity about, but why, you know, how?
Right. We lead with curiosity and not judgment.
Yes.
Yes.
And she says that's a question a lot of people say. Well, why didn't you leave? And
oh, yeah. That part was so heartbreaking, wasn't it, when she explained why she didn't leave?
Yes. Yes. It was for fear of her life, fear of her daughter's life. And she said the answer to that question is I did leave, which is why I'm here. So, yeah, I think that was really impactful. What else did you learn either through the episode or through, you know, the research that you've been looking into?
Yeah, just that, you know, when we talk about the ways that these girls get recruited by sex traffickers, it just doesn't happen the way that we see on TV or the way that we see in the movies. You know, a lot of times these girls are not homeless and destitute, but they're young and malleable. And these recruiters, they know what they're doing. They know how to form a strong bond with a young girl and make promises for an exciting, better life and promise marriage or a lifestyle that they possibly never had in their own family of origin. So that to me was that grooming that the girls go through. It just, you know, honestly, it made me think of your girls because, you know, your girls have a solid home life and wonderful parents. And yet it could totally happen to them. I mean, it could happen to anyone given the right place, the right time, and the right man making promises.
Yeah. I obviously hope and pray that my girls will never be there. But to your point, you never know any of this, right? What your kids are exposed to or when or who picks up on their vulnerabilities or insecurities. And this is certainly an extreme example, but I think so many of our guests would have never fathomed in a million years that they would be, you know, telling the story of their lives and their circumstances. So yeah, I do think it's important for any issue to not perceive yourself as immune to any of it. And she certainly highlighted that this is not, that we tend to, for whatever reason, distance ourselves from this issue or have a perception of distance when it is in fact a closer threat than we all imagine.
Yeah.
I often feel hopefully she's not going to listen to this and think I'm dorky. Sometimes I end an interview and like, we always send the guest an email the day of, you know, thanking them for the episode and giving them, you know, everything so they can share and listen to it, which, by the way, is always nerve wracking because they don't hear the episode until then, which is just the sort of ethical journalistic process of how these things are done. So anyhow, I signed the email and, you know, I'm always like, there's some people I just feel like I'm going to stay in touch with. Like, I feel like I've made a little spark of a friendship. And I felt mm-hmm. like that with Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of want to be friends. Stay yeah. in touch, girl. Like, there's something about her. So that's where I was like, I don't want her to seem like I have some sort of weird podcast girl crush. But I...
What's wrong with a little podcast girl crush? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a couple of them. But, you know, you just meet people that you connect with, and you know, I was wowed by her, but I also just really inherently liked her. So I hope that Rebecca and I are friends on Instagram or somehow in real life. But I really I can't say enough about her, obviously, and her story. And if anybody has not listened to it, Erica presumes that everyone who listens to these episodes has 100%.
I do. I mean, why would you want to listen to us talk if you haven't actually listened to the episode?
Oh, by the way, somebody came up with a tagline. They said, "I love A Little Wiser," was their opening. And she said, "I feel like it's the conversation after the conversation."
Ooh, I love it.
A Little Wiser.
That's good. Who was it that said that?
It is our new production coordinator, Tara, who will be starting on Monday.
All right. Thanks, Tara. Thanks.
So thank you guys for continuing to show up, not only for our longer episodes and conversations like Rebecca's, but also for showing up with Erica and I to have these conversations after the conversation. And we are really excited. We have some great stuff that is happening this spring, and we're looking forward to sharing it with you as always.
Yeah, and we just really hope you guys are doing okay out there, that, you know, you're staying well and you're staying healthy and sane. And we'd love to hear what you thought about this episode and how it landed on you and how it touched you. I always love to have a conversation about these stories and hear the impact that they're making in your life. I know some of you have really graciously left us some incredible reviews in Apple Podcasts. Have you read those reviews lately, Kimmy? There's yes. some really beautiful ones. And so we just want to say thank you for letting us know how the show is resonating with you, and keep them coming. You can always reach out to us on Instagram at All the Wiser Podcast, or you can send us a voice memo or an email at hello@allthewiserpodcast.com.
Yeah, and thank you for those reviews from the bottom of my heart. While they are of service and that they help other people discover the podcast and have faith that it's worth their time, they personally, to me, fuel me to, they give me confidence to continue to do what Eric and I are doing. And when it feels like time is short and life is full and hard and complicated, honestly, I can pull up those reviews and I remember why I'm doing this and that I, why I should continue and why it's worth it. So they personally, they mean a lot to the growth of the podcast, but as for me as a person, they mean a lot too. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's it for us. And we will be back with another fresh episode of All the Wiser next week. And in the meantime, take care. Do something nice for yourself.
I agree. Go do something nice for yourself.
And Kimmy, good luck with your move. I hope everything goes well.
I will. See if boxes, we move tomorrow. I will keep you posted.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Take care.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.